Okay, we're recording. We're good.
Okay, start UBC. I think there's nobody new here that I know of. You want to go ahead and get started with the minutes of September 9th and 10th, 2019. That was the council retreat. Anyone reviewed that so we can pass those minutes?
Yeah, the only change I saw is kind of closer. It says that I go to the youth corps board meeting and it says it's held once a year. It's actually quarterly.
Quarterly, okay.
Any other changes?
Did you get that? Oh, actually, Stephen, why don't we do a roll call just so we know who's here? Oh, and let me just state for the record is I fat fingered the last number and the call-in number. It's actually 800-582-3014. I sent out an email to those council members that aren't here, whether or not they get it, and Marilyn texted it to Jen, so I apologize for anybody that subsequently tries to call in, and it's clearly a wrong number, what I put on the in the agenda. So.
So let's go after who is here. I'll start. We'll just go counterclockwise. Stephen Foote, Duchesne County Attorney.
Steve Garcet, Layton City.
And who do you have a proxy for?
And oh yes, proxy for Scott Stevenson, UBS.
Just one.
This time, yeah. Since I messed it up so bad last time, nobody has trusted me.
Robert Wilson, St. George.
Edward, South George.
Ryan Peters, Durham County.
Jeff Newman, Swap, President.
Tyson Skeen, UBC. Thank
you. Will Carlson, on behalf of Senator Gale, Salt Lake County.
Marius Jones, UPC.
Bob Church, UPC.
Marilyn Jasperson, UPC.
Ron Waite, UPC.
Jamie Bradman, Summit County. I can pretend to be working until she gets here.
So, going back to the minutes, we had one request to change. Any other request to change the minutes? Did I have...
Scott Stevenson, so I'm going to approve the minutes.
Okay, we have a move. I guess second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's done. Financial report for going to Bob.
So just a couple of things. I'm going to try not to be too verbose because one of the things we talked about at retreat is I try to give you all the details in my director's summary, so I'm going to try to stick to that. That tab B, just so you're all aware, if you have any questions about the issues that came up or the concerns with us raising or the council raising the registration fees to $125 for public attorneys and $350 for private attorneys. I didn't realize that we appear on the fee schedule, and so the legislature has to approve it. And so that's why CCJJ, Dave Walsh got involved. There was just a clerical error data entry when the AG initially put it in. But I met with Dave Walsh and we've got that taken care of. And so he doesn't think there will be a problem with the legislature improving the fee increase in our registration fees that the council voted on. So that tab B is just the information that I sent to Dave Walsh explaining who we are, what we do, what our fees are. So if there's any questions on that. Tab C is the budget comparison report. Let's see. As I said, our registration fees have been down. I don't know if that's because we increased our fees or if people are just not attending. But we have saved in other areas, and I've outlined that. One addition, let me clarify. So the packets that you have received, you'll notice if there's anything in a light green highlight in the narrative that I provided, that's information that has happened since our last meeting. So the PIMS user fees, I thought that I had checked with Ron before I did the budget, but I obviously did not because I thought our PIMS users were down. We actually have received substantially more in PIMS user fees than I expected. Like, we received 14,000, and I think I only budgeted 3,600. So that will be a boon to us. So unless anybody has any questions about the comparison report, doesn't appear to be any. Okay. The surcharge report, that's tab D in the summary, and then I've just summarized it in my director's summary. The good news is that the last 3 of 5 months we have seen an increase in the surcharge. That is a new trend. Sadly, we're only just a little under $1,000 ahead of where we were last year. So I don't know if that means that the surcharge will continue to increase, what the status is, but that's where we are on the surcharge. Sorry, I'll wait till everybody catches up. And if you're looking for my notes or a comparison from year to year, month to month, that's in the director's summary on page 3.
Surcharge over 85%.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
What was the question?
When did the surcharge go from 80 to was increased?
it's when we were. It's been about 5 or 6 years ago.
The surcharge.
Surcharge?
Yeah, no, we're not talking about registration.
The surcharge amount changed from 85% on certain surcharges.
Well, we'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, I can find out.
Yeah.
So that would be helpful to give you the numbers that actually you've gotten here.
Sure, okay. Yeah, I can find out. So any questions? Concerns? Yeah, I know, right. Well, and as we get further on, I've got some additional information about a surcharge discussion I had yesterday, but I'll wait till we get to that part.
The questions, I think we're past the financial report, right?
Yeah, yes.
So off the information request to ALC, OSBC.
Yes, okay. At one of our previous council meetings indicated that I was going to draft a grammar request to AOC and SODC to find out, you know, some specific information. Let me see, Tabby. And I think Dan Burton either was in that meeting or he approached me afterwards and said, asked me if I would just send him a letter. And what he would do is he would then get the request to the appropriate general counsel from the AG's office over those agencies. So that's what I did on July 1st. And there's a copy of the two letters that I sent him. They have draft marks on them, but Dan just treated them as original requests. So you can see the information that I was requesting. The first letter is to the AOC. So I was asking for the years 2015 through 2019, the total number of cases. Oh, actually, let me clarify. Is every piece of information that I was asking from AOC is what they're required to report by statute? So I felt like I was not asking anything that they weren't already required to track by statute. So number of cases in which there was a final judgment, total dollar amount collected, you know, cases where they sent their fund, uncollected fines to State Office of Debt Collection. But you can go through and you can see everything that I asked. And then the second letter in there is the one that was sent to Office of State Debt Collection. And again, I tried to go by the statute as to what they were required to track. At tab F in the materials is a spreadsheet that I got from State Office of Debt Collection. It doesn't really mean a whole lot to me. I had a conversation with somebody from SODC, and they started to explain it to me, and I had some questions, and they said, well, we'll follow up and get you an explanation. They didn't, and I apologize that I did not before council meeting, so I need to follow up with them. Essentially, what they were indicating is they don't think that they have a poor track record on collection that we think they do. It's just that it takes them, I mean, it can take them years before they fully collect. And so that's one of the challenges in tracking. And I can't do a case-by-case comparison, meaning if $100 is sent to State Office and Debt Collection, you know, are they going to collect it that year? Well, the answer is no. I mean, it could be 3 years, 5 years. It could be never that they collect it. So it's hard to do a side-by-side comparison. But nevertheless, this is what I got back from SODC. What I was concerned about, I still have not heard from the administrative office on the courts. Their explanation to me, probably September, was they lost a full-time employee. I don't know if they replaced it or not. I've sent a couple of emails since then asking, could you please get this information to me, and I just haven't heard anything. So I don't know how we interpret that. I don't know if you want me to... Had somebody just join us? Maybe we terminated because nobody was on the line. What council's direction, what would you like me to do? Do I need to keep pinging AOC for this information?
Who's been your point of contact with the AOC?
I left my computer at work. It's...
Is it Michael Drexel?
Yes. Do you know Michael?
I do. I talked to him yesterday.
Okay.
He's fairly responsive. My concern was if you were reaching out to somebody else.
No, that's who it was, yeah.
What has he said?
It's just that because they lost this full-time employee, they haven't had the manpower to respond to our request. But that was, like I said, in August, September. I mean, it's been...
And they did have their data specialist retire after several decades, but okay. I sent a data request in at 8:30 yesterday morning and got an answer at 9. So they're back online.
Okay.
And I sent one before the new year. That took about a week to get back to me, and they said they'd have it to me by the end of the week, but I haven't seen it yet, so.
Well, it sounds like we need to send stuff through Will.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't want to, you know, read anything untowards in it. It's just, it's really, as I said in here, I was hoping to have this information if and when I ever get a meeting with Representative Hutchings or somebody to talk about the status of the surcharge, because I didn't want to go into him with just complaints. I wanted to go in with solid numbers saying, you know, here's what's been happening. And that's one reason why I have delayed or put off as long as I did requesting a meeting with Representative Hutchings, because I just didn't have the numbers, and I still don't have the numbers. So we're heading into another legislative session when I don't know that I'm going to be able to meet with Representative Hutchings. But I know this clearly is going to be an issue before the legislature, which I will bring up, as I said, in a couple of minutes. But I was really hoping to have the data. Just for the record, we were joined by Kathy Locker, representing Haley Christensen and Yvette Rodier. Thanks, guys.
So my confusion on that is that if this is something they're supposed to be reporting statutorily, I would just think it would be a...
You'd think.
...find the report and send it to you.
Right.
Okay. Well, this has been kind of a pretty please ask, right? Not an official grammar request.
Right. The
thinks of itself as beyond grammar anyway, so even it being an official grammar request won't speed things.
And I'm hesitant to try, you know, to ruffle feathers. I mean, and I'm trying to be diplomatic about it. But I mean, we need this information. At least I think we need this information.
I would call Mike. He's really responsive. I'll give Mike a call to that. And I think Will and I,
I'm texting him right now just to say the UPC sent something in September. Any update? Can you send another copy?
Okay. Thank you, Will.
Can we get a meeting with him? Because he is very responsive. He's a former prosecutor.
Longer detention pain. I know things get lost in the shuffle. So it's like I said, I'm not interpreting, you know, any nefarious, or I'm not implying that. It's just they've been slow to respond. So that's my report on the information that I sent to AOC and SODC. Any other questions on that?
I do have a question on the information from Office of State collection.
Yeah.
So the numbers that they sent us, it's pretty easy to read the chart, but the question I have are the payments we're talking about here, 2016, 2017, 2018. Are those payments on the specific debts from that year, or are those payments on that were received that year overall?
The latter. Payments received that year, but to cover all of the debt.
All previous years that
correct.
Received.
That's what I was saying earlier, is it's really hard.
You want to correlate that with the year of the...
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I say is they... And I didn't accuse them of 2 to 3%. I mean, I think that's the number we bandy around amongst ourselves, whether or not... You know, I think that's just based on personal experience. But they said it's you know, higher than that they're able to collect on. It just takes a while.
Yeah, I just thought...
Yeah. No, that's a good question. So thank you for reaching out. I'll call him, you know, Steve, and if you maybe want to ping him as well.
I'll let you know if he texts back.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Also, moving on then to item number 4, which is courts not imposing fine. Hopefully you all saw, not that everybody responded, to my informal survey about courts that are not imposing fines. And so you can... I don't know if you had any questions about the spreadsheet. It's not really all that, well, I created columns, responses based on what people were telling me. So for example, you know, the first response was courts not imposing a fine for defendants or indigent defendant always, or no fine mostly, no fine if there's a large amount of restitution. That's what Judge McCullough. Or no, let's see, which one is that? I think that was down. Anyway, Judge Poland in 4th District Court. I mean, as you go across that spreadsheet, these are the various responses. The last column on that spreadsheet are the courts that are still imposing fines. And if you look at it, and what I was seeing is it's mostly just the justice courts that are still imposing fines, even in indigent defense cases. I don't know, what's y'all's experience? Is that...
Michael's responded. He said, I know, I feel terrible about it. I haven't provided it already. I have some data that may be responsive to the request, but haven't had time to organize it. I'm not even sure it will speak to what Bob had requested.
Okay.
It might be to have a sit-down conversation with him about what you really are looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe I'll do that. I'll email him to say, can I...
You want to set an appointment now?
Yeah. No, not now.
Bob will reach out to you for clarification.
Thank you, Will. So, let's see. I was going to just do it.
The court does. I mean, it's not uncommon for them to maybe reduce the fine a little bit to offset the public defender... recoupment costs.
Who's your district court judge?
We have Hamilton and Edwards.
Hamilton.
I think we responded to there.
Okay, if you guys responded, then I apologize. I didn't get it recorded. Yeah. Okay, Hamilton and Edwards.
And our practice remains, as it always has been, that we usually tell people they can do up to half of the fine in community service.
Right. Okay.
And that's a rarity. That might happen, you know, once a week.
Okay. Okay.
So they're still imposing the fines, but they don't hesitate to send them to state debt collection.
Yeah.
Are you doing the bail?
Well, yeah, we generally follow the bail schedule.
Mm-hmm.
We're usually a little bit lower than that, but not much.
I'm also in the 7th District,
it's consistent between all the judges and the justice court that they're imposing a set number of community service hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give the defendant an option to buy it out for $10 an hour.
Yeah, okay. Are they imposing fines though, like for indigent defendants? Okay, yeah.
So Judge Howell, that one, the fourth district is, but we're continually fighting the, well, they've done everything else, so just write the 60. It goes either way.
Okay.
He is imposing fines. And,
okay. Any other districts or courts? Jamie, do you have any feel for what's happening up in Summit County? I mean, I know you're not in court very much, but...
I wish I could tell you. I was just thinking about that. I think Judge Kerr may be imposing them. I don't know about the district courts.
Okay. All right.
So in the 5th District, the justice courts, they're imposing the minimum recommended fines.
Okay.
Generally speaking, it's probably 10% of those cases. If someone asks for community service, the city, we generally don't object to that unless they've had issues in the past successfully completing community service recovery or show cause or something. In the district court, my information is limited to the appeal cases. Generally,
yeah.
We ask for the minimum recommended fine, and usually that is ordered by the district court judges. I don't know what Brock's office is experiencing.
Okay. Cases.
The 8th district, like Roosevelt District Court, which is our Roosevelt City Justice Court.
Yeah.
He imposes, they'll schedule fines on everything unless we ask for less.
Right.
They occasionally do. But he will let anyone do community service on any amount of it. Our community services run through the police department, so they have to verify their hours through the police department on those. And if they don't return hours in, they are done with the police department.
So. So what's our response? I mean, what should be the best practice, the ethical, the enlightened, informed response? You know, when I bring this up with powers that be, when we talk about it, I mean, I don't think anybody's advocating for debtor prison. I mean, that's not what I'm saying, but what should be our response when we're faced with the question, well, they can't afford it, they're indigent, so don't even impose a fine?
I mean, there's got to be some responsibility.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as I read through so many things, the fact that, you know, you can either look for a job or work out at the gym, and that's good for community service, is a little bit troubling.
Well, the right
judge on the gym.
The right to counsel is a lot different than your punishment is to pay a fine.
Yeah.
I don't understand why those two things are being used against each other, compared to one another, because that's that in the justice court, I would say the fine is the primary form of punishment. We just don't send people. We do send people to jail.
Right.
We just it's not the first inclination on, you know, 60-65% of the cases.
Yeah.
So we've already moved away from that with the number of failure to complies and the jail time for when they do fail to comply. So, I don't even understand. I mean, I understand there may be a correlation there, but just because someone is indigent doesn't mean they can't pay a fine over time, even if that is a longer period of time and a lower payment. So,
I mean, is it reasonable for those that receive the surcharge to make a united pitch that the courts need to keep cases open for longer periods of time?
Well, it doesn't matter, though, because you can't do an order, so the courts can't.
Yeah, that's true.
Conditional warrant,
yeah.
If they pay a fine.
And you'll get pushback from CCJJ and the Sentencing Commission on keeping cases open longer.
Yeah.
Because the evidence indicates the longer someone's on probation, the more likely they are to violate. It just keeps them
in the system longer.
Right.
And I get that. I guess I'm just trying to figure out, you know, is there an argument to be made, you know, in support of the surcharge that it needs, you know, that people need to keep paying fines to do this? Or do we throw our hands up in the air and go to the legislature and say, okay, you've just got to start funding all of these agencies with general funds?
I mean, you know, that's always been the medium of exchange, right?
Yeah.
I mean, someone's time or their money, and that's the punitive and the deterrent aspect of it.
Right.
And so, I mean, do we get to the point where where if they're indigent, then they don't have to pay traffic fines either, because obviously that's not an equal application of it either. And so it just, I mean, you know, you take it, the argument to the absurd end of it, and they've got to see that instead of focusing on the fact that, well, the, you know, this isn't fair. Well, apparently people don't think that you reimposing the sales tax on food is either, because it's more detrimental to the poor than anybody else, even though that you've adjusted the other tax scheme. I mean, yeah. It's the same thing here. And how they have to understand, I think, when you approach the legislature, say you've always been in favor of user fees, mm-hmm. and so if those using the criminal justice system don't help pay for it, then obviously that means the rest of the law-abiding citizens need to. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Well, nobody can tell the court what to do.
And that's the problem. They've created a user fee system with discretion of the judges to implement it or not, if they want a user fee based system. And we should be indifferent on this when we approach the legislature.
Yeah.
If they want to,
yeah, what, who do they
then
want
they need to take the discretion to take it away, away from the courts. And if they don't like that, or if they don't want it to be a user fee based system, then they need to figure out how to
dedicate the funds, correct.
I was talking to Tyson. It's so easy to talk about who shouldn't pay for the justice system. Like, it shouldn't be victims, it shouldn't be defendants, it shouldn't be taxpayers, but who should? And that's the hard conversation that nobody's been having so far.
Okay. Then I included that Steve was alluding to. It was somebody that emailed Tyson or texted Tyson about this. It brought it to my attention. I appreciate Kathy and Will identifying the actual case, State versus, and I've cited it in the materials. Just so you know, the extreme that apparently we're now going to. I mean, is anybody seeing anything like this? If you go to the gym, that accounts towards your fine community service.
Well, the crazy thing about this case was, is this is just a friend that was in court, wasn't his case. Nobody asked for it. This was the judge just on their own, just saying, I'm going to impose this fine, you can do this community service, but if you show me you're working or going to the gym, we'll count that, essentially.
What?
Yeah.
Was the defendant really buff?
Does the judge own the gym?
A follow-up question was asked about the physical appearance of the defendant and exercise.
But I mean, the
defense attorney didn't ask for it. It wasn't something that was negotiated and presented as a possible resolution. It was literally just the judge just saying,
as long as the gym's in the jail, it's okay, right?
Oh, and then by the way,
yeah,
throw this little extra condition on for you.
And the reason that I included it, he had three cases that were taken care of. I mean, we've got possession with intent to distribute, DUI, possession with intent to distribute, criminal trespass, false info, possession with intent to distribute, possession, use of controlled substance, another one of that, paraphernalia. And you look at what he pled to, the only fine he paid was a mandatory DUI fine. Multiple warrants were issued throughout the cases. I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, should we be concerned that this is the message that our judges are now sending to defendants? And who else
take
should...
Steve's argument and push a little further, and I think this is reasonable, to say, if you don't want to charge a user fee and you want to fund out a general fund, then quit criminalizing behavior. That's the answer.
Yeah.
And I think you need to push that argument. Someone has to pay. The citizens who don't commit crimes don't want to pay. We don't want the users to pay, which we understand why. We don't want to put them in jail. We understand why. Then don't criminalize them.
Yeah.
You're hamstringing us, the whole system.
Is this an anomaly? Are we
not in the district?
The working out thing.
The gym is unusual, but the alternatives to fines are not at all unusual.
No, right, right. Yeah, third district.
Fine in third district.
Yeah.
But the mandatory minimum ones we can kind of.
The DUI.
Yeah.
So we ought to be pushing more DUI enforcement. Same search.
Or do we go and say make certain crimes have a mandatory minimum fine?
That's the only thing we can do.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, other than prosecutors going in and saying, "Look, judge, you're nuts," that doesn't seem to be working very.
But yeah, I think we need to start like Wilson. We need to start off with how, who's going to pay for this? And we look at that, and then really, what is the effect of it? What is the purpose of the judicial system? Is it to hold people accountable? Or is it just to have a little conversation with them and the judge for a few hours and hopefully their life will get better?
Right.
This is something we ought to do in interim, ask for this to be a topic. How do we fund it?